Part 7. What will last for eternity? For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
This world seems solid enough. Whether we ponder the Himalayas or the Grand Canyon, the Pacific Ocean or the polar ice caps, this old earth looks like it's built to last. And it is, to a point. It will remain until the day that the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. 2 Peter 3:10. Isaiah gives us a more poetic spin to the same event. The earth is broken up. The earth is thoroughly shaken. The earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is the guilt of its rebellion that it falls, never to rise again. Isaiah 24:19-20. Our world may seem eternal, but it's not. Its permanence is an illusion. There is a world, however, whose foundations cannot be shaken and whose streets can never be defiled. Heaven is a real place, and we're going there. It will last as long as its architect and maker does. And since God is eternal, so is heaven. Heaven is the place where we will live with Christ forever, and nothing is more solid than that.
Chapter 25. I'm going to last forever. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. 1 John 2:17.
Eternity begins now for a child of God. Have you ever thought about it like that? It's not simply that at the moment we die, we exchange temporal life for eternal life. No, according to the Scriptures, if we belong to God through faith in the resurrected Christ, right now we have eternal life. This idea helps to clear up a puzzling statement Jesus made in John 11. In that chapter, we learn that a dear friend of Jesus is very sick and about to die. Jesus is traveling elsewhere, and the man's sisters send word that their brother is sick. They don't even ask him to come. They assume he will, once he hears of his friend's desperate condition. When Jesus hears the news, he replies, "This sickness will not end in death." John 11:4. Yet he stays put for 2 more days, during which time his friend Lazarus dies. When Jesus then tells his disciples that Lazarus has fallen asleep, John 11:11, they think he means natural sleep and offer their medical opinion that sleep would be good for the man's recovery. Jesus must have shaken his head when he replied plainly, "Lazarus is dead." John 11:14. And there is the puzzle. How could Jesus say, "This sickness will not end in death," and then just a little while later say, "Lazarus is dead"? The answer is found in 1 John 2:17, when John writes, "The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." He means that eternal life is not given to believers at the moment of their death, but rather is theirs from the moment they believe. If we are people who do the will of God, then we will live forever, even if our physical bodies should pass away. We will not live forever someday, but we are right now, this moment, enjoying the fruits of eternal life. We will one day exchange this world for the next, but we will never again exchange temporal life for the eternal kind. If we trust in Jesus, we have already done that. C.S. Lewis explained his own understanding of this truth when he wrote, "If we insist on keeping hell, or even earth, we shall not see heaven. If we accept heaven, we shall not be able to retain even the smallest and most intimate souvenirs of hell. I believe, to be sure, that any man who reaches heaven will find that what he abandoned, even in plucking out his right eye, was precisely nothing. That the kernel of what he was really seeking, even in his most depraved wishes, will be there, beyond expectation, waiting for him in the high countries. I think earth, if chosen instead of heaven, will turn out to have been all along only a region in hell, and earth, if put second to heaven, to have been from the beginning a part of heaven itself." But the best explanation, of course, comes from the lips of our Savior himself. When he finally arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus and his two sisters had lived, he was greeted by the words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." John 11:21. Martha was grief-stricken and couldn't help but pour out her anguish when she at last caught sight of Jesus. Her sister Mary would do the same thing a little later. And how did Jesus respond? With some of the most powerful, encouraging words possible. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" John 11:25-26. I wonder, do we believe this? Do we believe that if we have placed our faith in Jesus, we already have eternal life? Do we believe that even if our bodies should stop breathing, we will never die? Do we believe this? Martha did believe it. Her sister Mary also believed it. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus raises Lazarus from the grave after 4 days of entombment so that everyone else would have reason to believe it as well. But where is Lazarus today? Have you seen him lately? I haven't. And I know you haven't either because his body died a second time a little later on. He might even have been murdered because John 12:10-11 tells us the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus, for on account of him many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. And yet Lazarus never died, even though his vital signs flatlined twice, the second time for good. How can we say this and still be completely accurate? Because eternity begins here and now for a child of God. In commenting on the passage in 1 John, the Bible Knowledge Commentary states, "A person whose character and personality are shaped by obedience to God will not be affected by the passing away of the world and its vain desires." It is John's way of saying, "Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." I don't mean to meddle with old and cherished sayings, but I think the one Wolverd and Zuck quote above can be improved upon. If I were given the chance, I'd amend it to read, "Only one life 'twill soon be passed, yet those who are Christ's will always last." Okay, so I'm no poet, but you don't have to be good at crafting verses to understand that eternal life is ours at this moment. It can't be taken away, and it will never become more everlasting than it is right now. My body may die, but I never will. I'm already at one end of a line that stretches, unbroken, into infinity. Any way you slice it, that means I'm going to last forever. And so will you, as long as Jesus is at the other end of the line.